your lumbering Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight. Jerry Gadfly.
And this is Dr. Head, and together we are all experiencing.
Tune to Void.
This is Re-Radio.
Yes, I'm getting very, very weird feeling about all of this.
Thank you, Tar.
Dr. Tar, it's your episode
this
still.
This is supposed to be my show, yes.
Again.
And we're going to, in our series of bringing you the Hensei Gamera series, this is our third installment.
Hensei, not Hensei. Gamera,
sorry, I didn't say, yeah, well, tentacle. that's more Varus, isn't it? Vice
of Varus. That's a different series.
Come on, yes. Get out of it.
it's tentative tentacle.
Well, you know, maybe I've lost interest in Gamera now, so I don't know.
Well, Gamera's older now, so everything's kind of tentative.
Tentacled.
But anyway, this is the third one. This is 1999's Gamera 3, The Revenge of Iris. Or what is that?
Iris.
Yeah, that sounds more mystical, doesn't it? But anyway,
Plain old Iris.
Gamera in this movie, it's like he's lost his human.
He's against a secretary from the 1940s. Iris.
Yes.
Taking your notes, Mr. Gamera.
I'm going to spank that pouty bottom.
Yes. Ready for you, Mr. Gamera.
Take dictation, Miss Iris.
Anyway, back to the Japanese movie. This is the third one where Gamera's like,
this is not for humans. Dark.
Humans are just in the way.
He I got a frown on this episode. This is a dark episode.
Yes, dark. It's a dark one.
It's a dark one.
It's a very dark movie.
Excuse me if I go back over in the corner and maul.
Martin Maul or Richard?
Dick Maul.
Maul it. Yeah.
Motivational growth?
Let me maul in it for a second.
Yes. Motivational growth. Callback.
Anyway,
this dark movie.
Seeing this is going nowhere, I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr.
by far the darkest of the trilogy. What I love so much about this movie, other than the fact of how the monster is created through hate, and as someone who has spent most of his life hating, it's really nice to see a monster. It's nice to see representation. Representation matters.
You know? Okay, can I stop just for a second? So if
don't call on me, then
she was she hated it. I know she hated Gamera, but so someone that was actually kind of mediocre, just going, meh.
Yeah, you've been like
if they found the monster and they can, like, the monster
okay, let's just hang here
it's like the monster would be like, nah, bye.
Monster had a nice indigo. We're just going to chill the fuck out, man.
The monster's so goth.
And Revenge of Indigo and the couch. That's where I'm spinning my ass with Gamera. We're going to be fucking high and just sitting there watching movies, man.
Oh, hey, we're still recording, just in case you wonder.
Yeah, I'm recording too.
Thanks for the update.
No, it is really dark.
Back to this dark
movie.
We
have a monster. We have a monster fueled by hate and this kind of symbiotic relationship, kind of mirroring or echoing what we've seen in the other Gamera movies, you know, which now the bond between Gamera and humanity is broken. And wow, what a good time to have a bond between another monster, another person who's not necessarily a person full of good intentions. But
connection with the...
Yeah, the connection is there, and it's a very suggestive kind of connection. I'm so hot. Iris, I'm so hot. No, I can't say that in this context. Is that what he's doing? Oh, my Jesus Christ.
It's the tentacle thing.
It is. It wraps around her, kind of absorbing, you know, and their tentacles were in her back when she gets rescued. Okay, okay. I see where this was going. I've seen this. I've seen Urasuko Doji a couple times.
I've seen plenty of that.
Yeah. But what I love so much about this is the point of view from the people. We see all the destruction that's caused inadvertently, even by the monsters when they're fighting, because that's what the reason why the girl hates Gamera. Her parents were killed by Gamera, and in the first movie, so she has this nightmare vision of Gamera, a very terrifying view of Gamera. But we see a lot of people getting killed because of the fights between Gamera and the Gauss in downtown, including the spectacular fireball scene where the Gauss, you know, get a fireball and they fly through and kind of swoop up
and it just sucks up
all these people. You get them seen pulled up into the flames and it's like, you know, pieces, parts flying from exploded Gauss all over, raining fire on people.
Yes. And yeah, the inspector, it's like, wow. The inspector in the park that was having the beer, you know, because he's all destitute now, drinking the beer, goes back to swig and he sees the Gauss fly over, then the fireball hit it and they're all looking. That was awesome. I mean, they're all watching it though, then all of a sudden big flaming chunks of monster fall into the park, which is like, oh yeah, eat it, Korean barbecue.
So pretend I'm asking a question that prompts you to talk about your thesis, Dr. Head, because I can't remember what the question was, but the answer was great.
I was probably had to do.
You can prompt his thesis anytime, though.
It probably had to do with Gamera being somewhat with this, the idea of Shinto. Kami are like the idea of connecting mana to the Kami, and it's a Shinto concept that they're everything is alive and has a spirit, and so when if you offend the Kami, like going against the flow of life or the natural ways, like the Nagare, like we did with the atomic bomb, then the Nagare or the Kami can take shape and assume a form, and often they assume the form as a dragon. So there's a lot of Shinto symbolism in the Toho films. Well, Daiye, perhaps, because this movie was distributed by Toho. They were kind of working together, like Disney and Pixar at one time. I was just looking at similarities between those concepts of the Nagare and disturbing the mana or the natural things, and that's why these things are happening in Japan. So apparently they're doing bad things in Japan.
Well, it's interesting because Gauss, if you look up the meaning of the word, the term Gauss, and we have like in imaging, we have Gaussian, you know, which is a certain term, but it means magnetic flux density. So I think the idea that they call it the Gauss and they have this kind of scientific equivalent or whatever you want to call it, analog is interesting, you know, to
what was in the first ones when they first in the 60s ones, the little kids ones. I always loved it when they showed in that movie specifically when they were talking about the new monster, they had this goofy diagram that they had projected with an overhead.
Oh, right.
I remember that. The overlay saying that, oh, yeah, it has two spinal cords and that's what's making. You know, it's like a tuning fork, and that's what's making its beam, you know, so it could never turn its head, so it could
cut through metal that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the design of that first guy, like a big bat with a flat head, you know, a big triangular head.
Yeah.
It would glow.
I just like that whole scene with the overlay. I just thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that when he cut through his arm, the animation, and they kept doing it. You know, you're seeing the blue blood splatter all over the place. Anyway.
We're back to Gamera 3.
Yeah, I was going to say. So what's that movie about?
Well, it's revenge. Revenge. It's a simple plot. I agree. Yeah, we have the girl who wants to get revenge on Gamera and discovers this creature inside like a family of guardians. Again, we have the guardian thing. Again, very Shinto. We're borrowing a lot of Shinto imagery. This kind of guardian spirits, and they are protectors of these spirits in this cave. And she finds this egg.
Which they hint could be technology, though, too. Like a biotechnology, something.
Yeah, well, when you look at the creature, in a lot of ways, when it's younger, when it's growing, I see some of that kind of willowy look. I see that in Nope. You know, when it finally comes and it evolves, when it turns into the creature, I see like kind of that unfolding, kind of willowy kind of thing.
Nice.
Not saying that they're connected, but I saw similarities in that.
But it also has those angular, almost mechanical.
Yeah,
very like 70s.
technology,
like mecha, anime mecha, that roundness and conical look. Yeah, it's a very alien looking kind of creature. It doesn't really look organic, but yes, created in some ways. But
you were asking Professor Feather, what is this movie?
When I had a question, and now I don't have it anymore. I must have lost it.
So that now you have to make a statement.
It's kind of unrelated. My thoughts, because you guys are all talking about, and I'm thinking about other things.
Yep.
I'm thinking about the special effects.
Yeah.
And how different they are in this movie than in the other movie.
Yeah.
Than any other movie.
Yeah.
To me, I take that away from this movie probably more than anything. The darkness. See, I've always looked on these monsters as dark, in the point of view of humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the whole point is, you know, humanity really is nothing, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, humanity is just another pest on the surface of the earth and not even to be even considered, you know,
but I love felt Lovecraftian.
And I felt that since I was a kid, mm-hmm. all the movies, you know, mm-hmm. But then this comes along, and this movie actually has fight scenes with close-ups to show the rawness, which you've never really seen before in the detail that's in it. And I've just fascinated the hell out of me because I'm going, yeah, this is totally different. You know, this is not the way you normally see this. It's all that darkness, you know, that you're taught.
Right. You know what else is interesting?
Whole, yeah.
That whole monster fight you're talking about is inside a building. It's not in the city. You're inside a structure that fight's happening.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
That model's
gorgeous.
You've
never seen anything. Yeah. My God. Yeah. That was, that was a very cool scene.
But I just, you know, that to me is... It really adds to that, to the whole darkness of the, and to the uniqueness of the film.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think the film is very, very cumulative, you know, extremely so. And I know what the question was. Didn't early on, maybe the first Gamera, didn't they posit the theory that these could be creatures created by another civilization a long time ago?
There,
that didn't really come up in the third one. You know, I think it went more to what you were talking about, the Shintoism, the spiritualism, you know, and that tie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good change, a good kind of switch, you know.
Wasn't there another stone though? Didn't you?
Yes.
Stone?
Yeah. But yeah, that whole that all that comes back. But anyway.
Well, I think
that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, I think that's great because I think that ties into Shin Godzilla. I think that's what Shin Godzilla does, is just talk about the devastation of the civilization that it encounters. And I love the last scene when they freeze it and you see in the tail that it's actually an accumulation of people. You know what I mean? Like there's people.
It's changing
that are frozen. Or it's splintering out. It's turning into that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with Dr. Head. I mean, Shin Godzilla and Minus One, those are two of the best Godzilla movies I think ever. I mean, just, you know, and
but you
I would say
had those
since the first
for
one.
These things.
Well, since the first one, yes, the first one, because the first one gives us that whole foundation. But Minus One, I don't know, man. That's going to be hard to top.
It's the human. We don't often feel things for the human characters. They're agents. They're activists. They're protagonists. They're antagonists, perhaps. But we don't care like we do. We learn to like these people and see their struggles. We want them to succeed. We're happy when they do. The characters are real all memorable. I love the characters on the boat, the professor, the captain, and there's so much emotion involved and so much attention to the relationship building. That's what makes it different, you know, because it's a half hour until we really see Godzilla.
It kept that realistic time period though too at the time too.
What are we talking about?
-1.
And we flipped.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. But I'm
confused.
Let me jump back though. I don't think those would have been able to been made if it wasn't for these Gamera movies bringing that up to like.
No, I agree. I agree.
Adults.
Yes, adult level. True.
Yeah,
especially the third one. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you compare what Daiye was doing to Toho during this Heisei period, I think the Gamera movies are superior. You know, the Toho ones feel cheap and they're just cranked out and formulaic and repetitious. And where the Gamera ones feel much more fresh and like really, and especially with the special effects are fantastic and at half the budget. So it was just like, a
big And I love finger. How you can see like the progression of their effects. So through
yeah,
the
movies, so that, too, that's that dogfight scene with Iris, you know, and the jets and it was like so cool. And they're brief, but they're beautiful to look at, you know?
I also like the futility that's shown. I mean, it's not, it's shown, but it's the, all of the military, you know, treating it just like it's a battle. You know, let's we're going to make a difference.
Yeah. And the missiles just kind of.
And they make no difference whatsoever. But I love their aplomb. The commanders and stuff, because they just barrel right on, you know, saying what else can I do?
I like it.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was trying to make.
I'm gonna have to go. I think it's
okay.
It's time to go. I have to be there.
Okay.
So. Okay. Okay.
All right, Sean.
I'm sorry.
Take care, man. You need anything, Sean? You say it. Right. You say the word, buddy.
It's cool. Thank you.
We're here for you.
All right. Life gets in the way. That's harsh. Gets in the way.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. You know, life happens. Life, you know,
life is more. It's kind of like the monsters that they're not concerned about what happens to you individually. It's just going to happen. Gamera 3, like we were talking, it still keeps the continuity really great. I love seeing the through the one character, and we see how people's lives and how psychologically he's been scarred by the experiences, you know, with these monsters. How terrifying it must be if you've lived through it, you know. So we don't often see that in a Godzilla movie, except for the first one. We really, really do, and we don't often see that. We see buildings destroyed in the abstract, but not the people inside, you know, and it's just a rare thing that we see. And Gamera 3 does this a lot. So it really forces us to kind of like experience that death and that horror of being around kaiju when they attack a city, you know. And that's one thing I really love about it.
Yeah, that, like you said, then all three of them, you know, number two, maybe not as much, but just even number two, where it's way more from the humanistic point of view than, you know, any of the others, like you said. I totally agree with that. The storyline, you know, works out pretty good. There's not much I could say. Sometimes the fight scenes were a little confusing, maybe. I think because it could be some of the close ups and stuff kind of started to confuse. But then again, you know, I've been to film school. I understand the concept. So, you know, it all works out. I'll say it again. I was just blown away by the special effects and the That's what really, really got me on this one is they're so different that it interested me. It made me want to look at it, not saying, oh, yeah, it's some guy in a suit breaking down a bunch of buildings. Oh, it looks good, but that is a guy in a suit. It all of a sudden doesn't it takes on a whole different view and meaning.
What was it? What was different for you? Like, give me like an example of something that you think really stands out.
What the close-ups of them, you know, and the visceral aspects that you never see, you know, it's getting into that there again. It's into the actual physicality of what it is, and they upped the ante and especially that's why they did the close-ups. They said we're going to show this and
the intimacy of the intimacy of that the violence between those two I agree. Those were to me what made three the pinnacle, you know what I mean? And I think as it should be. I think there's a reason why this trilogy is regarded very highly, you know what I mean? You know, just me watching it from one through three is I would not change anything for any of them, you know what I mean? Like they all lead up to that third one and the way it was done. But I also think it wasn't purposeful. You know what I mean? I think there was a lot of happenstance that they did from one to three. And so that when we got to three, the decisions were made because they made one and two. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like
how much further can we push it?
They're just like, what did we do in those first two? Let's make three this, you know? And that really felt that way with those three movies. And I agree with you, Professor Feather, that, and I didn't even think about it until now, that kind of close-ups and those intimate, you know, and the way they looked, like those are like if you were to freeze those stills and look at them, you'd be like, that's beautiful. It's very, very rich in texture and shape and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. I don't know how much it costs to make, but it made $15 million at the box office in Japan. But it was about half the budget of Godzilla, so it was probably about $6 million.
Yeah. When I bet on DVD, they made a lot of money.
Yeah, I would think so, especially when it was released here in the States.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that box set, it's gorgeous. I've got autographs on all the discs from Shinji Higuchi, the special effects guy, and Hiroshi Sage, who also did the design. He did the monster, the creature design.
Nice.
And he drew little caricatures, like on the Iris box. He drew a little quick little Gamera and a little Iris, you know, which I thought was awesome. Yeah. So those, you know, those are cherished, you know, just to be able to talk to them about them. And the fact that they come to G-Fest, and I think they're kind of overwhelmed. They don't realize that there are all these American fans who know their work and sometimes know it better than people in Japan, you know? And so it's really kind of awesome, you know. It's great that they get that adoration, which is not really done in Japan. They get respect and reverence and those things, but they get the adulation and the love, and so it's a very positive experience, you know, usually for them. So
cool, that's very good. Cool.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's just nice to say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and to find out like what it was like to be in these movies and how they learned, you know, how they did things and the decisions they made, you know, on things. So yeah, very cool.
And you can't imagine what it would be like in, you know, in the way we grew up without these franchises. You know what I mean? Like without Godzilla, without Conan, without Tarzan, without, you know, all these different things that, when we were growing up, were very rare, only because we didn't have streaming. You know what I mean? We didn't have on demand. We literally were at the whim of when something was programmed. And then we had our map, which was the TV guide, you know, and the fun of grabbing the new TV guide and going through it every day and just like underlining the things that you wanted to watch and being like, oh, I got to watch this day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I mean, nobody will ever experience that again. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, yeah.
Unless you're like my parents and they just watch, you know, TV when it comes on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, it's their show.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you can DVR that. No. Like, you know, you can watch it anytime you want. No, I get it.
It was part of the ritual.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I get it. Absolutely was. Yeah. And like weekends, especially like a Friday night, whether it was Hula Chan, Big Chuck, or Big Chuck and Little John, and on Saturday, especially on Superhost, Superhost would often show the kaiju, the giant monster movies.
Yep.
And,
oh, yeah.
And he did quite a few of those. So that's where I saw these as a kid for the most part. They were on these horror hosts.
All right.
Local. So like, hooray for the horror host. You know, we grew up in a very fortunate fortunate time and place that we got to see so many of these growing up and foundational, you know, to our lives.
Yes.
Well, and even in the '80s when we were in our teens, I mean, it was like Commander USA. We had Elvira. We had Joe Bob
Holy
Briggs.
Holy Cats. That's where I got Holy Cats from. Like, I still use it to this day because of Commander USA.
He was one of my favorites, man. Oh, Commander USA was one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, like, okay. We're getting the Rhett Butler look. I love it. That's fantastic. Let's go. Holy Cats. Come here, Lefty. What do you think?
That was also at the same time that we had Pee-wee's Playhouse, you know, Joe Bob Briggs. We had, you know, there was all kinds of things that were going on that were just...
And Elvira.
Elvira.
Usually didn't make it past the introduction, but you know, it was all I needed.
You said sock it to me.
That's right. I had to say it. I could say it twice.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Gamera
3: Revenge of Iris. If you've not seen,
watch it, all three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch absolutely.
It is a good series. It is.
They're all on. Yeah, they're all on Prime right now.
They are.
So and Tubi, I believe, too.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go to Prime. Yeah. Tubi's got too many commercials. I love Tubi though. I mean, they've got some crazy shit on there. So yeah,
they do. It's nice. They got like a lot of things there.
I speed read on the commercials. Mm-hmm. Got my phone, and I got my Kindle, I got my book that I'm reading, and I'll just, when those come on, I mute it and read for 2 minutes, you know?
So what's coming up in the next few episodes?
Fuck if I know.
Of Unsane Radio?
Unsane Radio, yeah. Professor Feather, do you have your episode that's coming up?
I have
21 spots. Put him on the spot.
Tank Girl.
Dream scenarios.
Oh, Tank Girl's okay. Tank Girl's great.
Tank Girl. And
Tank Girl.
You do Tank Girl. I'm going to do My Name is Bruce.
Okay. They're both on Prime.
Prime. Yes, both on Prime. And if you haven't seen My Name is Bruce, awesome.
I have seen neither.
Oh, so, you're in for a treat.
I know. I mean, I remember when Tank Girl came out, I knew it was a comic book, and I knew people who watched it and they thought it was great.
Yep.
I did not watch it, and I know of the other one too, but just never had seen it. So I'm looking forward to watching them both.
Yep, My Name is Bruce is great because my son and I got to see Bruce Campbell in person in Toledo at a theater when he premiered that. So he did a Q&A, and it was amazing. And then we got to watch the movie. It'll be a good episode. Yep,
that's cool.
Okay, so there we are. Wait a minute. Dark.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go back to the dark.
I'm trying to...
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump?
Yes.
Who wrote this fantastic music?
I don't know. He needs to get paid for it.
Oh, he's ahead of the class.
He's a sophisticant.
Oh! You just killed Professor Feather. And you have been experiencing...
Just watched a whole bunch of videos about Buddy Rich, you know, playing drums. Holy fuck, was he good. Oh, my God.
And he knew it, too. He was an arrogant prick.
Yes. Oh, yeah. rightfully so.
Because he was a great drummer. I was getting that one-handed, blurry
fucking thing.
Like, Jesus Christ. All right, good for you, man.
Yeah, man. He was just fantastic. And speaking of good drumming, unsaneradio.com.
What? I thought you were going to say, speaking of good drumming, Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's my sense.
But if you like breasting, you got them there too.
Tarn Feather. Yep.
Extra crunchy. Tarn Feather, extra crunchy. Deep Fried Heavy Metal Horror and Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebooks and Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTubes. Montag Lewis, one word, on the Instagrams, Heavy Metal Horror.
We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ on...
You missed a K.
KZ?
No. I'm just kidding.
Jerry.
Shit. I can't spell anymore. It's on Facebook. It's family-friendly comics that are delightful. You need to look at them.
Yes.
By our good friend, John Blufez Boise. Wong.
Wong.
All right.
I'm serious, man. This music makes me feel like I'm in a Akira Kurosawa movie.
Well, that's high praise. Thank you. Well, I'm glad you have those, man.